This episode is brought to you by Perspective Space, a community gathering venue in Encinitas, California, that fosters mindfulness, sustainability, creative expression, and connection. More about them later. Hello and welcome to In the Art Scene podcast, an art podcast that has it all. I'm your host, Galina Marquez, and I invite fascinating people to talk about their personal creative journeys, success stories, and inspiration. We talk about art business and marketing, how to find your creative voice, and all the new trends in the art world, like NFT, AI, and such. Join me and my guest for today's conversation. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to In the Art Scene podcast. And I am super excited because my today's guest is the artist who has been on my radar for several years and definitely on my list for being a guest on the podcast since the beginning of the show. And like with many other guests, I was super intimidated to send an invite until I had, you know, at least eight seasons because I just feel like my show is too small for this person. Okay, welcome Eric Abel to the In the Art Scene. And oh my God, I'm just so excited that you accepted my invitation, that you responded to my message on Instagram. And I'm so excited to talk about your art, about what you're doing. I know that you are a huge environmental enthusiast. I know that you're from California, so hello. So let's just talk about it. Let's start with, I don't know, introduce yourself in your own words, because I can, you know, go forever.
Thanks for having me. And wow, honored that I was on the radar for so long. That's awesome. My name's Eric Abel. I'm originally from California, Ventura, California. I've traveled around a bit, and I'm in Southern Oregon now in Ashland. That's where I went to college, and I married an Ashland girl, so came back here to raise our kiddos in this little small funky town. And I've been an artist since I was born, and I've done all kinds of stuff. I've had a mural company in high school. I used to airbrush surfboards. I illustrated a kid's book all before 18 years old, and really into the surf industry. So I do a lot of ocean related things, artwork, and I've been getting in more into animals lately. And I have a really geometric graphic design inspired style, I would say. I've been doing design work for snowboard companies and skateboards and big surf industry companies alongside my fine art career. So it all kind of cross pollinates with each other. The art, the fine art, the graphic art. And so it just all kind of works together. And over the last few years, recently, I've been kind of breaking off into more abstract work. And I started a whole nother art brand and art website called Abstract Pursuits, that I can just kind of be free and do what I want and not have to worry about financial influence at all in the artwork. And that's pretty much saved my life, because I was going crazy for a while there. I felt like I sold out a little bit and kind of let money kind of dictate my career path for a while there. And so this has been just another little project that is a way to keep sane. But yep, I've got two kids and way too much going on, and which is why I'm kind of sick right now. I think I hit a wall the other day where I just woke up with crazy anxiety, as I do before I have big art shows. I have an art show next week, all about birds. I painted a bunch of birds for this, and some sculptures and stuff. So I overdid it, and now I've got a cold.
Yeah, I feel you. And I'm sure many of my listeners are feeling very similar, because we all hit the wall at some point. But okay, I got so many questions just from this introduction. Okay, and I'm afraid that I will forget half of them during this episode, but let's start from way back. A mural company in the high school?
Yeah.
Okay. This is something that you definitely cannot read on your website. Okay, let's talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, I was doing all kinds of stuff in high school, and I was I just started painting murals. I was doing a lot of like the faux brick stuff and marble pillars, you know, and just, I mean, I did all kinds of stuff. I did a whole show floor showroom of a window and door, high-end window and door company, where I was painting the ceiling. It was the whole Italian countryside and sunset, and the whole building was covered, and it was
how did that even happen? You woke up one day and say, hey, I want to paint a mural. I want to walk into a business and say, hey, guys, would you mind hiring me for this? I'm just a high school boy, but I know I got to do a good job.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it was just networking, connections from family and friends. And I mean, everybody knew I could draw and did artwork. So, you know, I always did logos for family, friends, companies growing up. And I had a friend that would give me pirated Adobe software back in the day, and he's like, you got to learn Adobe Illustrator and Photoshop. You have to do it. And so that really, you know, kickstarted the whole graphic design part of my life. But yeah, I mean, back then there was no digital cameras. I was taking pictures of my work and developing it and bringing a binder in with pictures and showing clients and a little easier now to market yourself, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's pre Instagram days, right? Yep.
Wow.
That's amazing. So you were just by yourself, and how long have you been doing this mural business?
Well, that's done. I stopped doing that. I've done murals every once in a while, but I don't really enjoy them anymore. It's too much pressure and just too much work. Recently, I've been doing, I've just been designing them in Illustrator and doing these big digital creations, and they're being printed out on big vinyl sticky sheets and applied to walls. I've done a couple grocery stores up in Portland, and just did a tap room up in Astoria for Breakside Brewery. So that's, I can do it all from the comfort of my own home. It's cheaper for me to do for the client, and it's faster, and it's not so permanent and precious, you know. The company moves a location, they can just print it out again and slap it up on a wall. So
that's a very very convenient commercial application for that kind of work. And I know that you're doing a lot of commercial work. It's amazing. But we will get to it, because I'm really curious. But I just wanted to, you know, go still slowly through your early years. So mural company, okay, high school, before the 18 years old, a kid's book. Let's talk about kid's book.
My uncle was an English teacher, and his student wrote a story in one of his classes that he wanted to turn into a kid's book. And so I illustrated it, published it, and that was that.
Is it still available?
I don't know. It's a good question.
Do you have any, I don't know, photos or like the samples of the illustrations that I can show off in the show notes?
Maybe. I mean, I've got things tucked away here in folders.
Oh, that would be so awesome.
Lonesome Leo the Little Lion. It might be on Amazon. You might
have it on. Okay, we'll have to search. And if I find it, I will definitely put it in the show notes. So awful.
I should redo it one of these days.
That would be fun. That would be really fun. So, yeah. You say it was so awful. I assume that, you know, you developed your style over the years, and it didn't look back then. It didn't look the way it looks today. So when did you start developing this, your original style, which is to me, like why I'm so attracted to it, because it is kind of a graphic, but there's so many details, and it's graphic, but it's loose. It's representational, but it's kind of abstract. It's tribal. It has depth, and it has so many different details, not only in the graphic details, but the speckles and the strokes of the pencil. You're painting with acrylic. That's right.
Yeah, I should have you write me a little quote for my website or something. That was perfect.
You can have it. So when did you develop this style of work? Because you have become very famous for this kind of work.
It probably wasn't until the very end of college where I kind of found that stride of interest that I wanted to keep pursuing. I was all over the place up until I was 23 at the end of college.
I'm almost 40. I'm still all over the place.
See, now I'm all over the place again and just exploring. I think that our current culture has just done a total disservice to artists, where there's an expectation to be recognized for a specific style for your entire career. That's just insane. So and a lot of people are pressured to, a lot of artists are pressured to find that style that they get recognizable for. And you look at all the old masters, they all did all kinds of other stuff before they got known for what they became famous for, you know. So, okay, my style. Yeah. So at the end of college, I had an art show at the very end on graduation. And that was kind of defined these kind of shapes and these loose line graphic kind of forms that I was developing. And then after college was kind of a struggle for a while. I was living up in Portland, having a couple art shows I was doing. I was doing some graphic work for various companies. And then I moved to LA in 2006 or seven to art direct and be a lead designer for this startup company. And that's when I started really painting again and showing in all these little underground LA art scene galleries like The Hive and Cannibal Flower and Think Space back when it was small, now they're massive. And so that really let me kind of fine tune and give me an excuse to really create a lot of art and keep going. And just having that constant art sales and that appreciation for it and giving me confidence to just keep kind of moving through it. And then going back to painting waves. I used to paint waves a lot in high school and draw them on my binders and workbooks and homework. And then I wasn't really doing that when I moved back to LA. I was doing all these weird kind of faces and just really weird stuff. And it wasn't until I started really painting waves again that I started getting these big commercial projects and doing these surf contests, artwork for big contests and Sector 9 skateboards and all these art companies, clothing, artist lines with surf brands and stuff. So that kind of led into the whole ocean related surf art that I've become really known for.
Well, so I kind of have two questions in one. You mentioned something that is on the mind of a lot of artists, you know, the way the society kind of, you know, pressures the artist to be some sort of a product that is recognizable, like you have to have your own brand, kind of like Pottery Barn, right? So people know who you are, and because that's what people are going to buy. And then I hear you talking, so after you graduated with your fine art degree, you were pursuing a lot of commercial work, right? So So you knew right away that that needs to be an application. So I want to just talk a little bit about that. So first of all, yes, it is very unfortunate the way artists are treated in the society. And that actually has been a recurring topic in the past few episodes, like of my podcast, like many lately, like the last few months I've been interviewing people and that was coming up on and on, like over and over again. So yeah, I just wanted to have your perspective on this. Like you crave obviously this creative freedom, right? And we chatted a little bit before we started recording, that, you know, there are copyrights issues and other things that you have to deal with. So there's a lot of still, you know, that pressure exists. Like you have to preserve your business in order to afford being an artist. And then this, you know, this constant conflict. But you knew right away that that's what you need to be doing. You need to be pursuing commercial projects to, you know, again, to afford being an artist. So how do you deal with this? Like, this is a lot.
Yeah, no, it is a lot. And you're right there. I mean, I've found that my success being able to be a full-time creative was having that that other side of my art, the commercial side, to supplement my fine art and to be able to do both. Because in the beginning, I mean, there was no way I could make a living just on selling my art. And some people are lucky and they can. They come out of the gates with this fantastic style that's so defined and they're having sold out shows, and that's very few and far between. So I realized that I just needed to be doing commercial art and design projects. But if I could not just be doing generic projects where you're doing a logo for somebody or something, but like actually use my art style in those projects, I felt like that was the way to go, because then that just all feeds into my fine art, and I think the name of the game for being a successful artist is just how many eyeballs can you get on your artwork. The more people that see your art, the more art you're going to sell, or more jobs you're going to get, commercial art jobs. So it's all just how many eyeballs can you get looking at your work. That's just, it's a numbers game. Simple as that. That's why we run ads on Instagram. Like, how many people can we get to look at my art? And you know, before Instagram, it was a struggle, and it was just really big hustle. And just, I had a website from the very beginning. I built my own website, and I felt like that was a good step in the right direction, just having a professional presence from the beginning. But a lot of artists I see, you know, they may not have that graphic design background, or that, you know, they can't even stand a computer. They don't want anything to deal with the design programs and stuff. And I mean, I always tell people to ask for advice, other artists, is you have to learn Adobe programs. You have to learn how to lay out your art on something. You have to learn how to lay out a show flyer for your art show, or like, you just have to learn how to present yourself professionally, printed or graphically online. You can't just rely on other people to do that. Or you can if you've got the money to pay them, but that's not usually the case when people are starting out. So I think a lot of artists should focus on, and now they make it easy. It's $50 a month. You get all the programs, and there's endless tutorials to teach you how to do everything you want. You could spend a week learning Illustrator and have it pretty down pretty quick. So, what did I answer any of your questions?
So, yeah, we kind of went back into the, you know, the commercial side of things, but I really wanted to hear your perspective on this endless conflict. And you mentioned at the beginning that you feel like you kind of sell out to the point that you had to create a side project just to keep you sane and focus on your art. And I mean, you are famous for the very specific Eric Abel style, right? And that's your fine art. And you're doing exhibitions right now. The Stormy Feather that's coming up next week, which probably, I don't know how long it's going to last, but if it's at the point when this episode is up, I'll either put the link to that exhibition or to whatever is going to be current at the moment. So you are clearly like this, like you feel this style, this is your style. But at the same time, you have been using this style a lot for your commercial work. And I think, I feel like that's what you were saying at the beginning, that you kind of, you know, overused it a little bit. So you had to pivot to something else just to keep yourself sane. So I just wanted to talk about this. This internal conflict and how to stay true to yourself as an artist and at the same time pursue commercial success. Because when we're talking about being successful artist, meaning, you know, being able to pay your bills, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I've started to maybe define artistic success a little different lately. I think you can have financial success as an artist by being able to pay for your lifestyle and your bills, but I'm beginning to realize that success as an artist doesn't have anything to do with money and recognition. And I think it all has to do with really figuring out who you are through your art and being able to have the time to follow that path and that direction. And you know, money can help buy time. But yeah, I've felt a lot of pressure, in my career to make money. Cause this is all I really know how to do. This is all I've done. This is what I'm able to do to make money. So, I focused on that and I realized every time I ventured off a little bit into some other direction I was interested in, nothing sells. It's not popular. I can't make money from it. And so it's discouraging realizing that like these paths that I want to venture into and explore as an artist personally are not a way for me to make an income. Maybe not right now, or just, you know, you have to find a different market possibly, which is that's starting over again, basically. So yeah, I feel like I've pigeonholed myself. I painted myself into a corner, literally, into a style that I have to continue on. And it is my style. It's what I know how to do. It feels comfortable, too comfortable, really. And I've had to just kind of trick myself to find these little areas within that style that keep me interested or inspire me to keep going. And yeah, that's why I started Abstract Pursuits, is because I would finish painting and doing my normal art, and I would just start drawing in my sketchbooks, and you know, all these weird abstract forms would just come out. I mean, it was pouring out of me. It was the most amazing feeling I've ever had, where I was filling up pages and pages, and it was just spilling out of me, and it was effortless, and it was beautiful, and it was inspiring, and I was so excited, and I was doing that, and it was just my therapy of from being a commercial artist. And I battled with like, okay, what do I do with this, because I love it so much, but it's nothing like what I'm doing currently. And do I want to add that? Just do I want to just start doing that to my brand, that I've built up over the years, and add this new different art to my Instagram and my website? And I decided just to create a whole another brand around it and it just feels better to have it separate, and to keep it, to not be confusing to people or myself. And it's just my own little place where I can play.
So the website is public, right? It's publicly available, and
I have originals for sale, and it's okay. Just
so I'll definitely put it in the show notes, because okay. I don't think I have seen that website, and I'm really curious. But I also have a follow up question, and I'm sorry for putting you out of your comfort zone with this kind of questions.
No,
so you're creating a whole new brand around this new style that is pouring out of you and making you feel good, with intent to make it commercially successful sometime in the future.
It would be nice, but the farther I go, the more I realize that I don't want that art to be reliant on anything financial. If I can subsidize doing that art with the other art I do and keep money out of that art, then that might be better. I mean, we sell print. It makes money. I sell my sculptures and paintings and prints, but I feel like I don't need to compromise at all with that direction. It's just straight from the source. And if I can just not have to worry about relying on that to make money, then it'll keep it free. The older I get, the more I realize that I think I need to figure out something else to make a good living so that I can be free in my art. Because once money gets involved, you have to compromise at some point. Somewhere along the line, you will compromise your art because you have children to feed and a mortgage to pay.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what will happen if that new style of yours will become commercially successful?
Shut it down.
You shut it down.
No, that's fine. I mean, yeah, I would love if people bought it all. That'd be great. But if it changes, I'm not going to try to keep it what is selling. You know, I'm not going to try to keep doing what's selling, which is what you do commercially as a commercial artist. Yeah. You make something for a company that you want them to sell all the skateboards. You want those t-shirts to fly off the shelves. So there's a compromise there.
All right. Well, okay. So let's hope that that new venture of yours will not put you in another pigeonhole.
That sounds really ridiculous to say. I hope this artwork does not sell.
That's not what I said, though.
No, that's what I tell myself. I'm like, I don't want this to go too big.
Well, but I think, you know, I think you were answering a question of a lot of the artists who are listening to this show. How do you do this? Because everyone is dreaming about becoming financially successful so they can afford doing art full time. And yeah. It always comes with this kind of internal conflict. Like, if I start selling, how do I afford the freedom of experimenting and creating? Because it takes time, and it doesn't come just naturally from the first try. It's a lot of experiments, a lot of mess, lots of shitty paintings. Right. Yeah, and when you're focusing on something that already has a market, first of all, you are in a totally different headspace, right? And then also the time, because it's not only the time for creating a piece, it's also the time for marketing it, which we already talked about. It's like, it's another full-time job.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's well, I hope it doesn't sell. Anyway, but I'm really, really curious to check it out.
Let me tell you about the new friends and sponsors of the show, Perspective Space. Perspective Space is a unique venue in the heart of Encinitas, California. open for individuals and companies that promote mindfulness, creativity, sustainability, and connection through their practice. The space is open and bright and well-suited for art shows, yoga, photo shoots, sound healing art classes, workshops, and other community gatherings of up to 60 people at a time. Perspective Space is a project by Think Parallax, a local sustainability strategy and communications agency that generously opened up its office for the local art community during the pandemic. I interviewed the CEO, Jonathan Hanwood, in Season 8, Episode 6, and I'm dedicating several episodes in this season to feature their artists in residence. To learn more, go to perspectivespace.com or click the banner on intheartscene.com. It's perspectivespace.com or click the banner on intheartscene.com. That was a nice bridge to now talk about your commercial projects. And when someone goes to your website, that's honestly a mind-blowing. Rip Curl, Riff, REI, Pottery Barn, you name it. That's an impressive list of clients, and you do all kinds of things for them. I think I want to ask you, what was your most interesting project that you enjoyed the most?
Well, thank you about being impressed about my client list. I definitely attribute that to finding my niche market. I grew up surfing, and surfing was my life for so long. And I feel like that was just a natural industry for me to target and go after. It just kind of happened naturally. But I do give that advice to the other artists, is find your target market. I mean, it's hard for certain people's of art. For certain people types of art, maybe like really abstract stuff, that might be difficult to find your target market. But if you're doing anything specific, if you're painting birds, like, you have to go after the Audubon Society people and birders. And if you are painting cars, like, I mean, you just have to find your target market and really try to tap into every big business or company within that market. And try to work with them. But to your question, my favorite project, man, there's been a lot. The biggest one that stands out was probably the first really big one, the Reef Hawaiian Pro surf event artwork. And that was for the Triple Crown of Surfing event, which is one of the biggest, most prestigious surf events of the year on the North Shore of Hawaii. I did a painting for them. They scanned it. It was printed on the scaffolding. I mean, buildings, life size waves out of my artwork. And it was on, the posters were plastered everywhere on the North Shore, all the clothing, the merch. It was on sandals. It was on everything. And they flew me out. I got to stay at the Reef House for a week. My buddy PJ was the marketing director of the company back then. And it was so awesome seeing it all come to life and be everywhere. It was in ads in the magazines. It was all over the internet. And that really catapulted my career in the surf industry, commercial side anyways, and art side. Like, that was, I got into galleries from that event. I had an agent that represented me. I signed with after that. It all started just snowballing from that one event. It was pretty special.
When was that?
2011.
That sounds huge. Oh my God, that's you practically woke up famous overnight, right?
It was pretty cool, and they invited me back to do it again for the 2014 event. So yes, that was the one.
That is awesome. But I also know that surfing, skateboards, surfboards. Now I see your art appears on the furniture. Like I saw that you've done a project with Semi Handmade, which is a very, very cool kind of little company that that makes furniture and furniture details, like parts.
They basically do custom cover doors for IKEA furniture and other stuff. But that was a cool project. They picked a lot of different artwork and designs for that. I at one point when I had a giant studio in Ventura in 2013, and I decided I wanted to go off in this new direction. I had a big wood shop. I was making all this weird sculptural stuff, and I started Able Design Co. And I was doing these big weird metal plant sculptures and pillows and all kinds of stuff. I was trying to branch my art into more of the design scene. And that was kind of where Abstract Pursuits, I think, got its little seed. Cause a lot of it was pretty weird and abstract pattern design stuff. So, that failed ultimately, but it was really fun to make all this new stuff and get out of my routine.
I also know that you are doing a lot of commercial work for the environmental organizations.
Yeah. We've partnered with a lot of orgs around ocean-related and environmental orgs, and worked with them on big fundraising campaigns using my art, where we sold limited edition prints, or I did art for their event. We raffled off prints and artwork and just kind of did these big collaborations with them. And my wife is like the brains behind all that. So without her, man, half this stuff would have never happened. She puts all those deals together and all these giveaways and all these, all the social media ads and everything, and puts these big campaigns together with those organizations. So hats off to her for that, because that's the stuff that I don't ever want to do. If you find a partner in crime that does all the stuff that drives you insane, then that's going to be a big help.
Well, that sounds great. So, it sounds actually really amazing and really inspiring that you and your wife are partnering around this kind of movement, because I know that you are an environmental enthusiast. You have been working with some national parks as well, right?
We did the Oregon State Parks 100 year. The poster, the 100 mm-hmm. state parks. That was pretty exciting. Yeah, I mean, I've always been outdoorsy, and I've always, the ocean is everything to me. And growing up surfing, I realized how important it is to, keep our environment safe and healthy. And unfortunately, there's a lot of big powers that be that are destroying it all. And it sucks, but there are organizations that are making a difference or trying to, and I feel it's pretty important to be able to support those. And if I can help through my art, then that's a win-win situation.
Yeah. Well, thank you for doing that, for sure. Yeah. Okay. Now I'm at the point where I forgot my questions. Because I had something in mind, and sometimes it happens to me.
But, I should ask you a question. Are you an artist?
I am, yes. Yeah.
Check out your art. What kind of art do you
do? Well, as I said, I'm kind of all over the place myself. I mostly paint with acrylics. I've been trying to go looser lately. And my son, who is 18 months old, has been my inspiration in the last few months. So I have a little body of work of him and some other little children. So that has been fun. And where I'm going to go from now, I have no idea. So we'll see. I have a background in marketing, so I'm kind of like, I'm still also trying to marry those two together. So
that's good.
Hence the podcast and a couple of the projects that I'm working on. So, I would love to hear your opinion about my art. That would mean a lot. Yeah. Even if like, don't hesitate to criticize me. Everything's welcome.
One and a half year old, you're in for it. It's hard to find time to do anything.
Yeah. Kids. Yeah. Yeah. And he's super active. He's like an Energizer bunny. So yeah, when he I'm a terrible swimmer, even though I live in San Diego. I don't think I've ever swam in the ocean, but I kind of hope. I'm afraid. I'm scared. I have waves.
Drowning.
Yeah, but I kind of hope that he will be growing up picking up some surfing and diving and whatever, because I mean I didn't grow up here. I didn't grow up around any big body of water, so that's kind of like I feel really good when it's next to me, but going in I'll take a pause, and it's cold most of the time, so
yeah. Well, not compared to up here in Oregon, but
yeah. I assume, are you still surfing in Oregon?
Yeah, not that much. I live 2 hours from the beach now. I question my decision to move inland every day of my life, why I left the ocean, but life is strange sometimes.
Move into San Diego.
Yeah, handle it down there. It's too many people.
Too many people?
Yeah.
Well, yes.
40 million people in California. I left.
Well, San Diego is not that bad. San Diego County, I think, is.
People, you know.
Yeah. A lot of cool artists, though. So.
Yeah. No, it's the weather is perfect. But.
And the weather is perfect. Well, so is there something that I did not ask you, but you would like to talk about?
I'm going to try to change the world.
That's awesome. Really, okay.
And that's what I'm most passionate about. So.
Sign me in.
Okay, good. I've done a few little preliminary kind of. So after that enlightening mushroom trip and realization of what I needed to do, I started the Art Detox Challenge, and I had a little survey on that site. I created a different little Instagram for it, and just kind of throwing out the idea of you know, the education around what you're using as an artist, and we got a lot of good feedback on the survey, and I realized a lot of artists haven't even really considered that. It hasn't even crossed their mind that they're painting with plastic. And that was kind of a shock to me to realize that. And so basically it just boils down. And then it was like, oh my God, what do we do? And so I think it boils down to just educating every artist possible to realize what they're actually using, and what they're breathing, what they're dumping down the drain, what they're putting on their, getting on their hands. And we have the technology now to use nature, to use plants, to create.
Yeah, the clean way of creating art. I like that. I really do.
It's we're almost ready.
Awesome! Oh, I'm so excited. You
know, watercolors are pretty good alternative. Those are natural. It's just a pigment and a plant based binder. Methyl cellulose, and so that's a really clean way, but you know, I don't really particularly like using watercolor. I want to paint. I want to throw some paint around.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Oh, okay. Okay. So this is a super exciting project. Do you, so you mentioned that you have done some public outreach already. So is there an online resource where people can go and, see what you have in terms of education content?
Yeah, they can go to artdetoxchallenge.com and fill out the survey. I'd be happy if people would fill out the survey there. And you can read my whole spiel of kind of what we just went through, where I had this realization that, yeah, we got to change this. This is insane.
Awesome. So artdetoxchallenge.com.
Yeah.
Okay. I will make sure to put that in the show notes as well. Okay. So you guys, let's just put our environmental hats on and yeah, because I mean this is something that a lot of artists are concerned about, but not everybody is talking about, because like, what you gonna do? Again, like there are people who prefer acrylic over oils for you know, obvious reasons. It dries faster, and like I can't stand the fumes. I would probably love to do it, but I tried a couple times. I can't stand it. The turpentine, if you're in a different solvents, and then there's something I tried, water mixable oils, but they also have the paints themselves have some sort of fumes, and it's just I am having headaches, so it's not working for me.
Yeah, that's your body telling you something that you're
So yeah, we gotta do it. Okay, well, and. Yeah. And we are at the top of the hour, like on time. Amazing. I am so, so grateful for you to take time, even though you are under the weather today, you're not feeling well. I so appreciate you taking the time to talk to me and share your story and share your amazing projects and all the, like, I love everything you do.
I'm
the biggest fan. I cannot afford your art, but I'm the biggest fan. All right.
Thank you so much for having me. Yeah, it's always good to talk about this stuff. And you know, I'm currently I just joined the board and as the artist liaison for the local Ashland Gallery Association. And it's just nice to have a community of artists and try to inspire other artists. I've been wanting to do some talks to the local college kids, art department, and just, you know, share what I've learned as an artist and as a professional artist over the years, and hopefully be able to inspire some of them. And I remember just learning little things from artists when I was young and how that made such an effect and such a difference. Simple things like, you know, I grew up thinking, oh, you know, artists don't make that much money. Most artists don't make that much money. And I remember just learning about how much this artist made. And I was like, that's even possible? Like, oh, and so just being able to, you know, expand your mind a little bit around the art world and maybe realizing something you didn't realize before. So stoked. Happy to come on here and talk. And thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much for being a part of the community of In the Art Scene artists. I'm really excited to talking to you today. Well, then, thank you so much and see you again in the art scene. It has been another episode of In the Art Scene podcast. If you liked today's conversation, please give us a good review on Apple and go listen to other great stories. Check out our website intheartscene.com or follow us on Instagram at intheartscene for more content. If you are a creative and you want to share your story, shoot us a message from the website or DM us on Instagram. Look forward to seeing you next time in the art scene.